I'll repeat two of my favorites, which I said over many times, but I think that the lessons are powerful and apply at all times. Okay. The Pasha starts off, Vaschanana Lashem Meisahi Leimor. And Rashi tells us, what does Vaschana mean? Ein chinun mechol mokoyim, el roshim matnas chinam. Chanan is a roshim of a present, chinam. A present, a person doesn't deserve a present. It's given because of the decision of the giver to give a present. Rashi tells us that there are 10 lushainois of tefillah, and Vaschanan is one of the 10 lushainois. Davaracha, says Rashi, ze'echo mi'asor lushainois shenikris tefillah. This is one of the 10 lushainois that are called tefillah, Vaschanan. The Archai Makadosh says very, very powerful words. It says the Archai Makadosh that besides there being 10 lushainois of tefillah, there are 4 conditions that a person needs for his tefillah to be accepted. And says the Arachayim HaKadosh, V'aschanan HaLashem V'aisa Hilema, all 4 conditions are hinted, are marumas in this first pasuk. What are the 4 conditions? The first is that a person has to feel that he's asking for a matana. A person can't come in and say, I deserve. It's coming to me, I deserve. A person has to, the mispalo and ask, like the Ani, who's the Ani going around begging by the door. So the Ani knocking on the door, the Ani knows he doesn't deserve anything. He's asking for rachmanis. The second is a person has to know whom he's asking from. He's asking from Hashem, who's Baal HaRachamim. If din would play in effect, din, a person would never be zeichel. A person is being spalled to Hashem, which is the shame of Rachamim. Third requirement is the time. Not all times are mesugel for tefillah. Certain times are an ace rotzoin, certain times maybe are not. There are times that are din, there are times that are Rachamim. A person has to know the proper time to daven. And the fourth condition is a person has to express his bakashas clearly. Don't beat around the bush. A person has a bakasha, he has to ask in a respectful manner, but he has to ask clearly for his bakashas. Says the Arachan HaKadosh, all 4 are hinted to in this pasuk. V'eschanan is a lashon of matnas chinam, like Rashi said. Like the Ani who's begging by the door. The Ani comes asking. The Ani doesn't come knocking on the door. I deserve. It's mine. But the Ani comes asking, like, so to a women's follow, it has to be Vaschanan for a matnas chinam asking for rachmanis. El Hashem, to Hashem. Whom will we misfollow to? To Hashem. Midas HaRachamim. Hashem is the makar of all the rachamim in the world. We daven to Hashem for Hashem is Midas HaRachamim. But Esahi, at that time, what's but Esahi? Says the Archaim HaKadosh. What happened at the end of Lis Pasha? That Yisrael just conquered Eretz Sichin V'Oig. It was an Eis Rotzoin. Yisrael just conquered the land of Sichon and Oig. At that time, Moshe saw that it was an Eis Rotzoin, tefillos were being accepted. Moshe was mispalel at that time, an Eis Rotzoin. Lamar saying, what's the word Lamar saying? We know what Moshe said. He says afterwards, this whole tefillah. Lamar means he has to express, he expresses tefillah clearly. He set out his bakasha clearly. So the 4 conditions for tefillah v'aschanan, like an Oni asking by the door, El Hashem, Tashem, Midas HaRachmim, Baisa here, Eis Rotzoin, Lamar saying. And I know we said over the story in the past, but in Stolen, they have a minute to scream. You ever go to Stolen for davening, you hear a nice loud Ashrei, a nice loud, davening. Stolen Chosid once came to the Charkov Rebbe. He came in Shabbos morning, and he went with the Charkov Rebbe, and he said to him, I'm a Stolen Chosid. And by us, the minute is we scream by davening. So I just want to tell the Rebbe in advance that, I'm going to scream by davening. That's what we do. That's what we do in Stolen. We scream. I'm missing the Rebbe Rishus that to scream by davening. The Rebbe told him, Chas v'shom, scream by davening? What do you think? Scream, a person just gets up and starts screaming at Hashem, davening? Daven? Be'im over daven properly, not screaming. No scream by davening. You want to stay in my base merish? Daven? No scream. Chas said, the Rebbe said, if you want to stay, no screaming. Okay. Chassid said, okay, I'll try. They start davening Shabbos morning. The Chassid holds himself in. Sukkah de Zimra. Comes Nishmas. Can't hold himself in anymore. Comes a Nishmas. And the Chassid lets out a shrai. Nishmas! And he screams out Nishmas loud. And the Chassid feels terrible afterwards. The Rebbe had told him no screaming. And a shrai to Nishmas. After davening is over, he walks up to the Rebbe. He says, Nechila, I'm sorry. I couldn't hold it in. The Nishmas just came out. I screamed at the Nishmas. The Rebbe said to him, Why are you asking me mechila for? Your nishmas was gavaldik. It went straight up to Shemayim. It was a beautiful nishmas. So the chassid says to Rebbe, I don't understand. Before davening, when I asked you, I asked you if I could scream, you told me no scream by davening. And now that I screamed by davening, you tell me it's beautiful. It went straight up to Shemayim. And the Rebbe said, poshut. You asked me to start off screaming. A yid can't start off screaming. You start davening, you start davening properly. But if in the middle of the davening, it gets so warm, and the neshama gets so warm, and the neshama wants to express itself, and the neshama expresses itself by screaming a nishmas in the middle of davening, gavaldik. There's nothing greater than that screaming in the middle of davening. Tzaka is one of the 10 rishonos of tefillah. But a yid has to rise to that madrega. To start off like that, start off like everybody else. In the middle of the davening, you feel this iris, and the neshama is aroused, and the neshama screams out a nishmas. Kavan, there's nothing higher than that nishmas. Okay. It says later on in the parasha, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Chofes, Ubikashtem Mishom Es Hashem Elokecho Motzasa. If a person seeks, looks for Hashem, you'll find Hashem. So we said over many times, I think Pesuch Ben Pashuska says, we say, Yismach Lev, Mevakshe Hashem. Normally, Mevakesh, one who's seeking, one who's looking, is not happy. One who's looking, he's nervous, he's anxious, he's sad, he lost something, he's trying to find something, he's trying to earn something, he's not happy. Mevakesh is never happy. Yet the Pasuk says, Yismach Lev, Mevakshe Hashem. Those in Mevakesh Hashem are happy, even while they're being a Mevakesh. Even while they're searching for Hashem, they're trying to come close to Hashem, they're already a Yismach. Because the fact that a person is looking, trying to come close to Hashem, brings a person Simcha. Ubikashtem Mishom is Hashem Elokecha. Beis Yisrael would say over many times, Mishom. What does Mishom mean from there? No matter where a Yid is, whatever Matzav is in, whatever Madregi is on, whatever place is in, whatever time, whatever generation is living in, Mishom. Hashem wants you to look for me from there. Don't say, if I would have been somebody else, I would have lived in a different time, I will be somebody different, I'd be a tzaddik. Mishom. From there, from wherever a person is, will be kashna mishom. Every Yid has the ability to seek Hashem from the place that he is from there. And the Chedushay Rim said, what does the Gemara say? B'chol nafshecho, afigu hu noitel as nafshecho. Even if your life is being threatened, a person has to still express the love of Hashem. Rabbi Kiva died, screaming Hashem, Hashem echad. Asari ugei malchus. A person has to be willing to give his life. B'chol nafshecho. So that the Chedushay Rim, the same is true. B'chol levavcho. The life of a person's heart. A person's mayach, his brain. Sometimes a person goes through a difficult situation and he has no head, he can't think, he has no heart, he can't feel. A person is going through whatever the situation might be, he's ready to give up. So it's the pasuk b'chol levavcha. Afigu hu noitel as levavcha. Even if sometimes a person feels that his heart is being taken away, his mind is being taken away, he can't think, there's no rational explanation, there's no solution to his problem. Even though he feels as if his heart is being taken away, v'ahavta Hashem Elokecha. The same as the mitzvah of v'ahavta when it's noitel as nafshecha, there's a mitzvah of v'ahavta when it's noitel as levavcha, when you feel like your heart, your brain, your head is being taken away. No matter what situation a person is in, v'kashna mishom. The Yid has the ability to seek Hashem from there. Simcha Bun Pashischa says what I think is a very powerful lesson. And he says, l'maisa. When it comes to fight the Yetzer Hara, he says, most people make a tremendous mistake in fighting the Yetzer Hara. Most of us could isolate what our Yetzer Hara saw. We know, everyone has their weak spots. We all have our weak spots. We know what they are. For one person, it might be the type of eating. Person, it might be a type of sleeping. Other types, whatever it might be. Everybody has their weak spots. What does a person do? A person takes all his kaychis and he tries to conquer that weak spot. But by doing so, if he tries to put all his kaychis and the conquering the weak spot, what happens? Everything else around him sort of gets neglected. Everything else around him sort of gets pushed away to the side. And he opens the door for the Yetzer Hara to creep in and through other entrances. Says it's Mechmun Vashischa, the way to fight the Yetzer Hara is when a person has a weak spot, be aware of it. Know you have a weak spot. Work on it. But not with all your kaychis. You have to take your kaychis And the main avodah should be to protect the weak spot. It shouldn't spread. It shouldn't go from where it is and become bigger and spread out. The idea is to try to contain it. But use your kaiches to work on everything else. The milas that you have, and the good points that you have, the talents that you have, that use, and that work on to serve Hashem. If you work on everything else that you have, eventually it will cause the Yetzer Hara to erode away and to be able to conquer the weak spot at the end. But if you put all your koiches on conquering just that one weak spot, everything else sort of gets pushed away to the side and you're in danger of losing what you already have. So the idea is just try to contain it and be careful. That shouldn't spread outside. Look at it like that. It changes the whole idea. Person says, you know, I would really come to learn, I'd really come daven better. But, you know, I do this, and I do this, and I do that, you know, like, I have so many other chesroinus, you know, fuck it. You have a chesroin, so contain it. But don't let it affect the milus that you have. Don't let it affect everything good that you have. Whatever matzav a person is in, serve Hashem with what you have. Take the milus that you have, and with that, serve Hashem. Pasuk tells us in Perikei, Pasukei, Anoichi oimeid ben Hashem uveneichem. Moshe said, I stood between Hashem and you, between Hashem and Bnei Yisrael. Pashup Shat Anoichi means Moshe Rabbeinu. The Mar B'Shemesh, and Sfarim bring down the idea, Anoichi means the Anoichius, the I of a person. When a person says, I did it, I accomplished, it's me, Kaichi Vaitim Yodi, that's Oime, that stands between Hashem and you. That's the Mechitza between a person and Hashem. When a person says, Anoichi, that's me, you know what I did, what I accomplished. He doesn't realize where it all came from. He doesn't realize that it all comes from Hashem. That's a separation between Hashem or Beinechem. Then Anoichi is, he feels, I did it. Person has to overcome, then Anoichi, be mevatel himself, and realize everything he has came from Hashem, and then he takes away the mechitza, that's Oimei Bein Hashem, Ubeinechem. Pasuk says, Be'ohafles Hashem ulekecha, b'chol v'obacha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol maidecha. We're all familiar with the Pasuk.
Every day.
More than once a day. More than once a day. And Rashi brings down, what does it mean? B'chol nafshecha, b'chol moedecha. Nefesh. Moedcha is mamoy. So if moed means mamon, says Rashi, there are those people whose nafshom is chovav alav yoysim gufon. The nefesh is more chovav than the guf. So says the Pasuk, I'm sorry, the mamon is more chovav than the guf. So to those people whose mamoy is even more important than the guf, with all your money, serve Hashem. That's hard to understand. How could a person possibly rationalize and say that his money is more important than his life? If he doesn't have a life, he's not alive, his money is not worth anything to him. Money isn't worth anything in the grave. So the pshat is that tzaddikim, the money is so choshev to them because the money is earned honestly. The money is earned kosher money. And the money is so chavav to them, in the sense it's more than a nefesh, because the money is kosher and tahar. But they say about the story of Zisha. Zisha was once traveling around, and he came into a town, hungry, without any food to eat. He knocks on the first door, and he asks, please, can I have some food to eat? They say to him, I'm sorry, but we barely have enough for the people in the house. We don't have anything extra to give you. And the same thing happens by the next house. And every house that he goes to, I tell him, sorry, there's nothing here. And finally he says to somebody, is there anybody who has extra food in this town? And they tell him, the truth is here, everybody is very, very, very poor. And everybody lives very betzimtzum, has not even enough for themselves. And we don't have anything extra. So Zisha says, is there anybody who has money in the town? They tell him, yeah, there's a miser in the town. Oh. Every town has the miser. So Zisha says, tell me where the miser lives.
Mr. Miser.
the Kamsan. He goes to the miser's house, and he knocks on the door. Nope. Whatever reason is, the butler wasn't available, the miser himself opens the door, he sees the beggar, Zisha standing by the door, and before Zisha says a word, the usher starts to slam the door. Zisha somehow manages to block it, and he says to the usher, you just answered my kasha. I had a gevaldik kasha all these years. You just answered my kasha. And the usher looks at him. What are you talking about? What kasha? So she says, you want to hear the kasha? You have to let me inside. It's cold standing here on the doorstep. You have to let me inside. So she says, okay. They better have a good kasha. And she says, fine. Comes inside. And he says to the usher, I always had a kasha. How could it be that somebody whose ma'idcha's money is more chaviv than his guf? How could it be? He said to the Oshim, let me ask you a question. You say to him? Every year it says to him, of course. Are you aware of the pasuk, mal v'ashem chayin dal? The one who gives money to a dal, to a poor person, shows favor, in a way is lending money to Hashem. Because Hashem promises to pay a person back for the tzedakah that he gives to an ani. He says to the Oshim, are you aware of that pasuk? It must be that to you, Hashem is not a good enough guarantor of the money. Hashem promises to pay you back, and you're not willing to give stock. The Osher starts to get a little bit upset.
Nervous.
And says, so what's your kasha? She says, but do you go to sleep every night? Do you sleep at night? She says, of course, I get my 8 hours sleep every night. I have a nice bed. She says, really? Where does Yinashoma go every night when you sleep? She says, oh, everyone also goes into Shemayim. The Yod Chav Kedruchi, Padisa Isi Hashem. In your hands, I leave my neshama. She says, oh, your neshama, you trust Hashem to give back to you in the morning. But when it comes to money, you don't trust Hashem. Are you always as bothered? Is there a person in the world whose money is more chaviv than his guf? I just found such a person. Your guf, you're willing to trust Hashem. You give away your guf, your neshama, you give away every night. But to give away your money, to trust Hashem, who'll pay you back, that you don't do. Okay, he left it. I guess he got his nadova afterwards, and Dasha learned a lesson. But be careful. Sometimes our attitudes get so fadrate, and we don't think straight. And if you realize it, just open our eyes a little, we'll see things a little bit, see things the way they should be. Chavetz Chaim is what we said over every year, but I have to say it over again. Says the Chavetz Chaim, means Mishim Goyin Echad. Mishim, one of the Goyin. I imagine it means, Talmud Chacham, called Goyin Echad. V'hoyu ha-dvarim ha-eile. When it comes to Talmud Torah, when it comes to learning Torah, the Yetzirah works all the time to stop a person. Yetzirah tries every trick in the book. Says the Chavetz Chaim, when it comes to learning Torah, there are three main tactics the Yetzirah uses. One is, a person decides that he's going to learn a Masechta, who are a Perek, says the Yetzirah, one peirik. You know how many prokim there are in Shas? What's one peirik worth? What does one peirik add up to when you have so many prokim in Shas? You're going to learn one mesechta. Look how many mesechtas there are. One blot. Look how many blot there are. And the Yetzirah tries to stop a person and tell him, you're learning. It's not worth much. It's a drop in the yam. What's it worth? Sometimes the Yetzirah says, you're going to learn. It's not for you. You're a balabos. You're a businessman. You're a lawyer, whatever you are, you have your own worries in life, your own parnasa. You? Learning. Go into Beis Medrash, Talmidei Chachamim learn, the Rabbanim learn. Learning is not for you. Learning is for the Talmidei Chachamim. You? Learning is not for you. Sometimes a person decides to learn, and the Yetzirah comes and he says, you're gonna learn now? Why now? There's so many things to take care of now. You're tired. You're hungry. There's so many things to be busy with. Go, take care, and later on, when you have some time to relax, you have some time to take it easy, you'll learn. Why are you learning now for? There's so much time in life to learn later. How do you answer back the Yetzirah? Says the Chavetz Chaim, the Pasuk answers the Yetzirah. V'hoyu ha-dvarim ha-eila, asher anochi mitzavecha ha-yoyim, al-lubavecha. V'hoyu ha-dvarim ha-eila. The first thing is, when the Yetzirah says to you these words, you're learning this page, this mesechta, there's so much more to do. You know what you answer him? V'hoyu ha-dvarim ha-eila. There are only these words. I'm not concerned about anything else. Right now, I'm learning these words on this page in front of me right now. This line on top of the page. You're right. There are many more pages, many more sfarim, many more mesechtas to learn. I won't be able to learn it all. But that's not my issue right now. My concern right now is, only these words are in front of me that I'm learning right now. Next, asher anochi mitzavecha. You? Who are you to learn? Says the pasuk, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha. Hashem says, I commanded you. Every year there's a mitzvah to learn. Whether it's a Rosh Hashiva, a Rebbe, whoever he is, Asher Anochi Mitzavecha. You. Every year there's a mitzvah to learn. And not only that, but Asher Anochi, as Hashem commanded you to learn. Every person has a tzavo direct from Hashem to learn Torah. Mitzavecha. And third of all, Hayoyim. When the Yetzirah says, today you're going to learn. So much more time. Learn tonight, learn tomorrow, learn Shabbos, learn next week, next year, next month, the summer, whatever you might have time. The answer is Hayoyim. It's a mitzvah to learn today. You too? This is Goyin Echem. Shem Goyin Echem. Hayoyim means today. When the Eitzahara says there's so much more time to learn, Hayoyim, the answer to the Eitzahara, no, it's a mitzvah to learn today. What will be with Talmud Torah of today? I might learn tomorrow, but that's tomorrow's mitzvah. What about today's mitzvah? So if, with this pasuk, a person is able to answer back to the Eitzahara and overcome the Eitzahara of learning Torah. Shomor Esyema Shabbos L'Kachon. We have the Aseres HaDibros of this week's parasha, and we know that there are many differences between the Aseres HaDibros, the way it's written in Yisroi, the way it's written in Vos Chanuk, and the Farshim, they go through many of the differences. One of the famous differences is Shomor and Zochor. In Parashas Yisroi, it says Zochor Esyema Shabbos L'Kachon, and in this week's parasha, it says Shomor Esyema Shabbos L'Kachon. Zochor means remember, Shomor means to watch. And the Gemara tells us what's Zochor and what's Shomor. Zocho is the mitzvah asay. Remember the Shabbos day to make a kodesh. Kiddush Yayin. A person should be ma'anik Shabbos with nice food, a chilo shasiyah, nice clothing. A person honors the Shabbos. Shama otherwise asay. But a person is not allowed to do the malachas. The Rama test malachas. A person can't do on Shabbos. And Chazal tell us, Zocho v'shamar, v'dibur echad nemru. Zocho and Shama were said v'dibur echad. They were said at once. They were heard, they were said together at the same time, heard together at the same time, but for us, they're written separately because we can't hear and see it together at the same time. The Domagin explains, Zocha v'shama b'dibur echad. For the Ani, for an Ani, which is easier? For an Ani, the Shama is very easy. Not to do malacha. The Ani anyway during the week doesn't have malacha to do. He doesn't have the business, he doesn't have the job, he doesn't have the factory, he doesn't have the Nisayin, So for the Ani, the Shomer is very easy. The Zocher is the hard part. He needs wine for Shabbos. He needs food for Shabbos. He needs nice clothing for Shabbos. The Zocher is the hard part. By an Asher, it's just the opposite. By the Asher, the Zocher is the easy part. The wine, the food, the chalas, the Shabbos, nice clothing. The Asher has it all. The difficulty is the Shomer, is the watching. Stay away from his work on Shabbos. Close the factory on Shabbos. Not to do Melacha, not to think about the Melacha on Shabbos. So the Gemara tells us, Zocha v'shama, v'diba echad nemru, we're said together. A person shouldn't think that the Zochar is more important, or Shama is more important, and the Ani and the Asher. The Ani has to know the same way he's mechuyev in the Shamar, he's mechuyev in the Zochar. And the Asher has to know the same way he's mechuyev in the Zochar, he's mechuyev in the Shamar as well. Each person has their messianess when it comes to Shabbos. But Zocha v'shama, v'diba echad nemru, Zocha and Shama are both said together. Should I say over the story or not? No, but I say, okay. I'll say it over, but you heard it enough times already. Don't matter. No? Zochas Yom HaShabbos HaKachar. What does Chazal tell us? That whoever is Ma'anik Shabbos, Hashem rewards a person, all the money a person spends in honor of Shabbos, a person is paid back. Kom is a nice of Shalom, Ketsuvin Loi, Mirash Hashanah, Vad Vash Hashanah, Chutz Meit Soas, Shabbosos, Yom HaToyvim, Bet Amo Toyra.
Meit Hasayin.
Sorry? Meit Hasayin. All the expenses a person has a whole year, all his food, all the money a person earns during the year, set from one Rosh Hashanah until the next Rosh Hashanah. Except for the money a person spends on Shabbos, Yom Tiv, Tzatz Tam HaToyra, those are all exempt from the Cheshbon. Through the Maggid's famous marshal, everyone knows, but you don't know it. I'll start off on that one. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Three brothers. Nobody yet.
Oh, the telescope?
No.
The machine?
No.
The picture?
No. Three brothers.
Doctor?
Three brothers.
Chinese brothers?
Jewish brothers. Three Jewish brothers grew up. No. Three Jewish brothers grew up in a Jewish house. And this one brother is much older than the younger brother. Quite an age difference between them. And the older brother gets married, he moves far away. The second brother gets married, he moves far away, somewhere near the older brother. The older brother is very successful, very matzlich, becomes a big usher.
Wedding.
The second brother, Nebuchadnezzar, didn't make it, and he has great financial difficulties in life. The younger brother is still at home with his parents. He grows up, Shoyim Mazel Tov, becomes a chosin, ready for the chasin. The father writes a letter to the brother, the big usher, and he writes him a letter that your brother became a chosin, and the chasin is such and such, such day, I want you to come with your entire mishpacha, and don't spare any expense in buying and preparing for the wedding.
For my honor.
And I promise, any money you spend in my honor, says the father, any money you spend them for I'll my honor, I will pay you back every penny, that every cent that you spent. I will take care. And spend money, take care of your brother, your poor brother.
Make
sure he and his family come to the wedding. Make sure they're dressed properly. Make sure they have transportation to the wedding. Arrange everything. Yeah. And don't spare any expense, because whatever you spend in my honor, I will pay you back.
Very good.
The rich brother says, receives the letter.
Hey.
He reads it. His wife reads it. And their eyes pop out. Open here. The bank account is open. Whatever money you spend for the wedding, father's going to pay back. And they go all out. There's no end. And the rich brother buys himself a new suit for every night of Shev Brachas, a new suit for the chuppah, a suit for the wedding, and hats and clothing and shoes. And the wife buys one dress and another dress and the shoes. And the children, everyone has to be dressed just right. And there's no end in sight. After all, it's all in the father's bill. He's paying for it. And the usher runs up quite a big tab, quite a big bill, buying all the clothing and the shoes and whatnot for the chasana. What else they need? They need to eat on the way to the chasana. They need service. They hire a nice fancy coach with white horses to pull them to the wedding, because after all, they're not paying the bill. It's being on the father's, it's on the father's bill. And they're all excited about the big wedding. Finally, the day is about to approach when the coach is coming to take them. And suddenly the brother reads the letter and says, "Oh, my poor brother! I forgot all about him! With all the preparations that we were making for the wedding, I forgot about my poor brother! It's too late to do anything! What should I do? I can't find, it's too late! You know what? I'll just get a old coach to pick him and take him and his family." He quickly sends a messenger to the brother, "Listen, our younger brother is getting married, there's a coach coming to pick you up, and you and your family go on board the coach and come to the wedding." They're dressed in their poor clothing, in their shmatis. An old, run-down coach comes to pick them up, and they go off. And the two brothers are traveling to the wedding. The usher comes in a nice, fancy coach with his four white horses, and they're dressed inside the fanciest clothing, everything in style. And then the next coach is the old, an old coach, and they're dressed in the poor clothing. And the father's waiting outside for the two older sons to arrive. And the fancy white coach pulls up with the horses, and they get out, and look how nice they look. And behind them pulls up this old rundown coach, and out comes the brother, all dressed in shmatis, and the wife and the children, looking at a bunch of poor people. And they all go into the wedding. The wedding goes on. They have Shev Brachas. After Shev Brachas is over, the usher says to his father, "That was beautiful. I'm leaving. Say shalom."
Good.
And the father says, "Good. Goodbye. Nice to see you. Goodbye." And the usher says, "Ta, I'm leaving." The father says, "I heard you the first time. I'm leaving. I heard you already." And the usher says, "Remember the letter that you wrote?" The father says, "I remember the letter that I wrote. I'm leaving." "Okay. You told me already you're leaving. Goodbye. It's very nice seeing you. See you next time. Goodbye." "But the letter said that I should spare no expense." And the father says, "I see. Yes, Taka didn't spare any expense." So she says, "You see, I followed the instructions. I'm leaving." And the father says, "Okay." And the usher says, finally, he's bored. He says, "But you promised in the letter that all the money that I spent in your honor, you would pay me back. And I spent all this money in your honor. After all, look, we came to the wedding. Look how nice we looked. It was all in your honor. People were oohing and aahing how nice your son, your daughter-in-law, and the children looked." And the father says, "Really? You spent all this money in my honor, or you spent it in your honor? Did you spend it for yourself, or did you spend it for me?" And the son says, "I spent it for you." The father says, "You spent it in your honor. Because if you would have spent it in my honor, you would have made sure that your poor brother came to the chasana dressed properly, and his family came to the chasana dressed properly, and came in a proper coach. Instead, they came dressed all poor, and you embarrassed me when they came. If you cared about my honor, you would have made sure they were dressed properly." So there's a little magid. When it comes to Shabbos, there's a mitzvah to eat, mitzvah to drink on Shabbos, wearing nice clothing on Shabbos. Are you doing it for the honor of Shabbos, or are you doing it for yourself? How can you tell if you're doing it for your honor for yourself. You're doing it for Hashem's honor. That you take care of your poor brother. Those people that didn't have what to eat for Shabbos. Somebody didn't have a way to go for Shabbos. Didn't have clothing to wear for Shabbos. Did you make sure that they had food for Shabbos? Did you make sure that they had what to eat? If you did it for my honor, you would make sure that the Anim and those people have where to go, what to eat for Shabbos. When does the Kodesh Baruch Hu pay a person back? When is that not part of the cheshbon of the expenses for the year? When it's done for Hashem's honor. Not when it's done for a person's honor. So a person, Shabbos, has to be done honestly with covered Shabbos. And the test is, did you care about others? Did you care about others where they are eating for Shabbos? Where they're keeping Shabbos? Where are they holding? Okay. I think it's one of the most powerful, very powerful motion. Just end off with some cipher. Tisha B'Av, a little bit late. Or just this week, if we remember so far back, this week we just had Tisha B'Av. And Tisha B'Av Emes is a stira, is a contradiction in itself. On one hand, it's a seder day, day of fasting, sit on the floor, kinnis. On the other hand, there's no tachnun, karalai moyed. There's no amnesech, no tachnun, it's a day of Yom Tov. Very hard to reconcile the Karol and Moyed, of Ayin Panim Atayra, and the many, many ideas that are presented. Some sense is a very simple but powerful idea. We find by Yaakov Avinu that Yaakov was never comforted over the loss of Yosef. Yosef was taken away, and they told, what did the brothers tell Yaakov? Ki Taraf Taraf Yosef. Well, Yaakov figured it out that Yosef was torn up, Yosef was Einenu, he's gone. And yet the pasuk says, "Va'yimayim lesnachim." Yaakov refused to be comforted, and Rashi tells us why did Yaakov refuse to be comforted? Says Rashi, because the gezeirah of shichacha, of forgetting, was only nigzar on a person who actually died, but on a person who's still alive, there's no gezeirah that his relative should forget him. There's no gezeirah of shichacha, and since in reality Yosef is still alive, Yaakov was not able to forget him all these years, and therefore he refused to be comforted. Says the Chacham Sofer. Oh, says Chacham Sofer. How many years ago was the Beis Hamikdash destroyed? How many years ago was it destroyed? And yet, unfortunately, we sit year after year, we sit around the Beis Hamikdash, but year after year we sit in Avelos. We still feel the Avelos. The fact that we could still feel the Avelos for Beis Hamikdash, that shows that it's not forgotten from us. That shows that it's still alive by us. It's not something we wrote off years ago, we forgot about it. It's still alive by us. That in itself is a reason to celebrate. That in itself is Karolai Moyed. The Yom Tov is that we didn't forget the Beis HaMikdash. And we still feel the loss of the Beis HaMikdash after all these years, even though Piderech HaTeva, something that happened such a long time ago, we shouldn't be able to feel. I know you're going to say we don't feel it, they felt it in the previous, but we do feel it. In our own way, everybody does feel it. That in itself is a reason to celebrate. Because whoever's Mis'abel Yerushalayim, Zoyche V'roi, Benechmos, Zoyche Tassid Recham. And the fact that we're able to be Mis'abel and feel the loss of the Beis Hamikdash after all these years is a reason to celebrate, because then we'll be Zoyche Tassid Recham. And we can't be Zoyche, because in the Haftarah this week, Nachamu, Nachamu, Ami, Yemel, Akechem, Zoyche Tashun Recham, and being in the Beis Hamikdash, and he remain on me.